Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hey there. There you are. And here I am. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good week, good month. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop, here with you for another episode of Alive to Love. I believe lesser values than love are just that. They're less, and they are values that do not reach to the power, the strength, the pinnacle, the mountaintop of love. I am convinced that all of life is about love. All of life is summed up in love. Love alone is credible, said Hans Urs von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian. But I believe this: if the only people we love are people who look like us, think like us, act like us, we still haven't yet loved. So that's why I'm here week in and week out, talking to you about love, the capital L letter on love, to know that the journey, the pilgrimage, the marathon, the reach, the hard work, the heavy lifting, as I like to say, of love, is that which makes life worth it. It keeps us on a track of productive living, of positive living, of living for purpose. Living beyond ourselves is what love looks like. I know some people hear me and they think, oh, he's just on that little axe grinding of his little story of just got to love people, let's just be loving. And I think they tend to dismiss my words with kind of a brush off of, oh, come on now, aren't we all just here to do our best with love? And I agree, but doing our best with love should look like this: my love's creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. That's what I mean by the heavy lifting of love. So let me give you this love's creed one more time, this time in short bursts, like you were a bride and a groom at a marriage altar, wedding altar, and I'll have you repeat it after me like a vow. All right? Here we go. I love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. So you see, when we come to this kind of genuine life commitment, when we reach for this sort of purpose in our living, we're going to have something more than an easy peasy, cotton candy, cheesy, cliche approach about love. And this is why I think some people hear me talk about love and they assume that I'm on some kind of little cliched path. And I promise you, I'm not. I grew up in a home that was miserably dysfunctional because of a drug and alcohol abuser that was in my family of birth and my family of origin. And out of that misery and out of those pains, I had to learn the hard way. I didn't always have the kind of help I needed. My mother was as loving as she knew how to be, and she did a very good job with what she had. And yet I know that if she had life to live over again, I guarantee you my mother would come back into this life with a greater sense of how to love, with a greater power and a greater effectiveness than what she had. And she did her the very best with what she had. But I guarantee you she would have wanted more. And that's why now in this stage of my life, I'm committed to making sure people have as much as they can get into their hands. And I have as much as I can get into my hands to share with people and to put out there in front of people. This is how love looks. This is how love behaves. These are the actions of love. So I come here to you routinely to take us past the bumper sticker cliche of, and I talk to you about things like today is a core value in my mind, and that is strength training for love. Let me say that again. Today's topic is this: strength training for love. I said at the top of this broadcast that all of life is summed up in love. But if the only people we look like us, think like us, act like us, we still haven't yet loved. Because until we love beyond the safe and familiar, we have lived or loved. So that's why today is so important that we have strength training for love. If you've done any kind of exercising, whether great or small, you may be familiar with the phrase strength training. And strength training isn't the muscle-bound kind of approach to lifting heavier and heavier weights so that your biceps and your triceps and your pectorals and all the muscles in your body start popping like you see in so many pictures of weightlifters. But strength training is creating durability in your muscles and in your joints. It's increasing the repetitions of weight. So if I'm lifting just 10 pounds with my arm, I do 10 pounds with more repetition over more days so that my muscle creates a memory. My muscle creates more strength to do that repetition, because our muscles are only doing what our mind has taught it to do. It really is mind over matter when you're strength training. And that's why I want to talk to you today about strength training for love. Because if all the people we love are just the people who look like us and talk like us and act like us, well, then we're still just on the surface level of love. In fact, Jesus said, if you greet those who greet you, what is that? If you love those who love you, what is that? That's no big shakes. What we do to go beyond the ordinary is to reach beyond the ordinary with something strong and durable. So today I have three basic points to talk to you about in strength training for love. First of all, read, research, and open your mind. Oh, I know, that's so hard. we're so used to having our minds closed. We've grown so accustomed to having a locked, tight, shut mind because, you know, if I open my mind, then I might have to welcome new thoughts. If I open my mind, I might have to consider something other than what I know just by, you know, by. That's why I go back to Love's Creed. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. That's why Love's Creed is so important to me. I'm going to read. I'm going to research. And I'm going to get a key and unlock the door to the vault of my mind, where my mind has been unwilling to go, where my mind has been unwilling to strength train. You know, your mind is like a muscle. Your mind says, I don't want it today. And that's probably the very day you need to say, hey, mind, I'm in charge. My soul here is in charge. And mind, we're going to open up and we're going to read something. We're going to consider something we don't ordinarily consider. Sometimes, you know, and when it comes to, yeah, I've said here many times, actually, that my family of origin, my birth family, was riddled with the addiction of my brother. And out of his addiction, there was just four of us. My brother was 6 years older than me, and so between the four of us, I grew up in a small little apartment complex in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, North Side, and it was a tough life. And it was tough just all by itself, but when you add addiction into the mix, well, it got tough times 100. So in terms of me growing and opening my mind, it took years. It wasn't just a one day I woke up and said, yeah, I think I'm going to open my mind to my codependency in this process. I'm going to open my mind to the fact that while it may have been my brother in the process and in this cycle of addiction, I have cycles of codependency. I have cycles of trying to keep all of these moving parts from blowing up. So I really had to educate myself in a way that I wasn't prepared to educate myself. I had to consider what was happening in me, you know, what was burning in the kitchen of my own soul. I had to go in there, get a fire extinguisher, put out the fire in my own little kitchen, and I had to say to Randy, listen, Randy, you didn't get to choose the life you grew up in, but you still got that life chosen for you, and now you have to open your mind. You're going to need to research. You're going to need to read. So I've set about, and I still do. I'm at 69. I'm still learning. I'm still researching. I'm still listening to others who have had a similar life experience to my own. I stopped making excuses. I stopped pretending that it doesn't hurt. I've stopped pretending that I'm okay. And I've learned how to be to do the strength training, the repetitions. And by the way, some of the things I learn aren't always new. Sometimes it's just repetition, reminding myself of what's true, reminding myself of where I've been. That's why I belong to a group called Spiritual Program Retreat. I'm on the board of that group. I'm the spiritual care director for Spiritual Program Retreat. 12-step meetings, according to Alcoholics Anonymous, and we apply those same 12 steps to those like me who are codependent. And we recognize that codependency and dependency are equal partners in this pain and in this struggle. That when you've had a significant person in your life with dependency issues, you are, whether you want to be or not, it is your drug of no choice. You didn't go out looking for a drug of choice. A drug was chosen for you. And the drug of a codependent is working harder on others' issues than they are willing to work on them themselves. So you become addicted to their pain, addicted to recycling and reducing their pain, somehow or another finding a way to buffer their pain. But you know what? That's not love. That's a sickness. And love knows how to navigate that without becoming bitter and unforgiving. Love knows how to recognize a problem when it's in the room and to say, look, I'm going to solve what I can in me long before I work on the problem. I have to work on me. And you know, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is to love yourself. Love yourself, not in spite of the person who's addicted, not in spite of people who may not be addicted. They're just hurting. They're just messed up. The best thing we can do for those that are unloving toward us in those manners is to love ourselves. And I'll close with that in just a few minutes on number 3. But first of all, strength training for love. Read, research, open your mind. The second thing we do in the strength training for love is to stop fighting. Stop fighting. You know, love not to be quiet, even when it feels like it's got the one answer everybody needs to hear. Love knows how to shut up. Love knows how to be at peace when everyone else is at war. Love knows how to stand down when everybody wants you to step up. Love knows how to drop the sword when everybody else says, grab the sword, let's fight. Stop fighting. And you know, I find that the greatest fights that we fight are internally. Yep, internally we battle. We have these verbal sparring times. Internally, we imagine how we're going to get the upper hand on somebody. We imagine how we're going to shake a fist and give them hell. We imagine how we're never going to again put up with being abused. And we imagine we always win, don't you? Don't I? We do. It's It's a human condition, and I'm human and you're human, but remember Love's Creed. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with dreams, plans, and designs locked in anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. And you know, anything less can be internal wars, internal battles, these dreams and thoughts inside. Maybe nobody will ever see them, but you're dreaming it, you're thinking it, and it's keeping you stuck in a poisonous cycle. It's keeping me stuck. I can say this from my own experience. It has kept me stuck in the pain, in the cycle of revenge, in the cycle of plotting a course of a war that I may never fight. But it's time to stop fighting. I, as a kid growing up, I've been in a few fights. And in fact, growing up in North Milwaukee, it was a war zone on 27th Street and Fond du Lac Avenue. And I know what it feels like to get suckered. I know what it feels like to have somebody come up behind you and just waylay you. I know that terrible feeling and how inside you think, oh, I wish I was prepared. Oh, I wish I was stronger. Oh, I wish I was bigger. Oh, I wish I had the upper hand. And you never quite do get that upper hand. So I grew up with a few physical battles and some scars in my life from those physical battles. But here's one thing I have learned, and now at 69, you know, there is nothing in me that ever wants again to be cold cocked, have somebody draw a fist back and punch me square in the face. I think pain has a way, as you grow older, of saying, let's never do that again, please. Your body says, please, can we just not do that? At this age, I realize that those fights are worthless. Those fights gain nothing. And now, at this age, I wish I could go back and learn the peace of what Jesus said. Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, put away your sword. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Now, today, our swords aren't always physical weapons, though they are sometimes. Most of our swords are these internal weapons. And we fight and we fight and we fight. We never win. Well, no, we never win. So it's time to stop fighting. All right, strength training for love. First of all, read, research, and open your mind. Learn about other people and other people groups. Number two, stop, especially those internal battles that we fight. And number three, last but not least, and I truly want you to hear this, genuinely please tune into this because this is an important part of the regimen of strength training for love. It's important to walk away from some relationships in order to remain a lover. To know how to strategically retreat, I've talked about that here before, a strategic pull away, to recognize that, you know, we're in a conflict with somebody or some people group, and we're not winning, they're not winning, we're just wearing each other out and we're creating more pain for people around us. So why not? Why not, with a healthy mindset, with a plan and a dream and a design locked in anything and everything that is love, why not just simply put it down, walk away? As a pastor, I've done more weddings than I can count, but I've also done and walked through more divorces than I care to count. I recognize that in the 21st century, that's a fact of our life. It's not something I want to war. It is something I want to give people the tools to be able, when it's time, and if necessary, just walk away. Walk away and keep your love turned toward growth. Not shrinking love, not causing love to be thrown away, but give yourself time, even if it is a long period of time, to just walk away. And some cases, a divorce is the best way to preserve their love and your love. I don't recommend it for everybody. In fact, you know, I used to say, you know, marriages are made in heaven. But I'll tell you this, now I recognize, while I don't believe in divorce, there are some marriages I don't believe in either. My wife and I are coming up on our 50th wedding anniversary in 2024. But I'm going to tell you, those 50 years of our marriage have been sustained because we were committed to the strength training of love. They were sustained because we were honest. They were sustained because we didn't play games with each other. They were sustained. Those 50 years have been sustained while we walked our own children through divorces, walked carefully, recognizing that our own children had to walk away in order to preserve the quality of their life and go on with their life so that love would have a chance to exist again. So when I say walk away in order to remain a lover, I know what I'm talking about, even though I know in my own wife and our experience, we've been able to sustain our love for half a century. Listen, but that was not easy. She will tell you that, and I'm telling you that. But it was in recognition that we're a smaller and smaller group in our society, and that I can't expect everybody to be just like me. I can't expect everybody's marriage to be just like mine and Ginger's. I can't expect everybody to have a 50-year marriage. It's unreasonable, especially in our day and time, and I am not going to fight that battle with anybody. You know, religion has a tendency to say, just stay in there. And what I've watched is people stay in there until their love is cold and dead, but they're still home. They're still together. They may be married on paper, but in heart to heart, that marriage is dead. And what good was that? What good was a dead life between two people who hated each other just in order to end their life by saying, well, we never got divorced? Oh, that just wearies me. So you may be married, but divorced in spirit, and recognizing that in order to preserve love for some people, they just simply walked away. And for those people, I say, look, I congratulate you for your courage. If it was not just cheaply done, but done at the expense of keeping your love alive, keeping your love from growing into some kind of death march. So please hear me when I say I don't recommend just running away from every little problem. That's never what I would say. But what I do say is that when love is being crucified and destroyed and pummeled and buried, you may need to walk away strategically. Now, that's also true for friendships. It's true for some business relationships. It's true for many relationships in life. I recognize that, again, in the 21st century, we live in a complex life. We live a complex industrial mode of relationships, and relationships are under more strain and struggle than they've ever been before. So here I am, the no BS bishop. I'm not going to BS you and tell you, oh, it's going to be easy. No, it'll never be easy. It's always require strength training. So if you've done your reading and your researching and opening your mind, number one, if number two, if you stop the fighting, especially internally, and then but you're left with number three, I have to walk away in order to remain a lover. That is difficult, but love is worth it. Love alone is credible. Only love can win the day, even when everything else is losing. Strength training for love is where I'm here to talk to you about today. So on that note, I want to strategically take you to two things that we do here every week on the No BS Bishop, and that is, first of all, breathe carefully and with the determination to calm yourself. Stop the fighting. Maybe you're going to have to walk away from some business, some relationship, some friendship in order to keep your love alive. Stop the fighting. Now, if you're going to do the strength training, you better breathe, and you better breathe well. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can and hold it in the bottom of your lungs for just a second or two. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it there. And exhale. That's just a little part of strength training. Calm your mind, calm your body, calm your nerves, calm your blood pressure, calm you, and stop the fighting, especially internally, with a deep breath. Second thing we do here every week is I challenge you this in this manner, and I kid you not, this is so, I think, important for strength training. It's learning how to say, I love you. Learning how to say it intentionally. Learning how to say it authentically. I'm not asking you to fake something. I'm asking you to learn something. Like in strength training number one, research. Open your mind. I love you can be the most magical, charmed words you'll ever speak. Sometimes when you don't know what else to do, you can't write a poem, you can't write a song. Maybe you can say, I love you. And if you can, then you might save somebody's life. Give somebody the privilege and the honor of looking them right in the eye and saying, I love you. You know, the life you save might be your own. The life you save might be their life, and it might be their life and your life. To say, I love you, could stop the wreckage of the battle between two people that never should have been dragged on as it was, with love being the first victim in the whole process. What a serious conversation with you today, and I'm glad that you came in. For this episode of the No BS Bishop, I'm alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS, and I will not, I promise you, going to give you BS. It's important for all of us to know that love alone is credible. We're alive to love. Thanks for being here today. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh, ugly, ugly, ugly has been done to death. Time for the people of beauty to arise and shine. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.